Zacchaeus was a wee little man. And a wee little man was he. You know, he climbed up in a sycamore tree in Luke chapter 19. And there was a big crowd around Jesus. And Zacchaeus wanted to see Jesus. And so Jesus came over to him, and as we all remember, hopefully from the songs and the reading, that Jesus said, "Zacchaeus, you come down, for I'm going to your house today." Do you get what just happened there? Jesus just invited himself over to Zacchaeus' house. How rude of Jesus to do that. Obviously, it wasn't rude. Zacchaeus was excited about it. He was thrilled that he would have the opportunity to have the Lord into his house. We don't see Zacchaeus standing there saying, "You know what, Jesus, I'd really love for you to come to my house, but, you know, I'm in the middle of some construction right now. I'm putting on some panels on my roof, and, you know, there's just stuff everywhere, and I haven't vacuumed in a few days, and so I'd really just prefer if we didn't come over today." Zacchaeus was excited, and Jesus was willing to go. You know, how do you feel when someone comes over to your house and you're not exactly prepared for it? Sherilyn and I, a couple months back, I think, a bunch of us were over at a restaurant and at Payway. We were all standing outside talking, and eventually, as you know, people are known to do who are interested in conversation, the restaurant had closed. We're standing out in the parking lot, and Austin and Janelle were there with us, and if you know anything about Drew, he had to go to the bathroom. So, you know, we were right around the corner. Payway's closed. You guys, come on over. And so as we were walking through our hallway, Charlene and I both realized that we'd just given up trying to impress people as we stepped over the pile of laundry. Not only the pile of laundry, but not joking, the pile of underwear laundry. I've been thinking a lot about fellowship lately, and you probably would have guessed that. This is what happens when you tell the song leader and the guy leading the prayer what your outline is going to be for your lesson. You have songs about the lesson, you've got prayers about the lesson, and thank you to both Ryan and Vernon for all the work that you have been doing in this service to help get our minds in this place where we can understand what our responsibility is in fellowship. How important is it that we bind together as a strong church, as a vibrant community? We've been in our Sunday afternoon Bible classes, we've been talking about the church. We've been talking about the organization of the church, the history of the church, how the church came to be. And let's not gloss over the fact that we, as the Monte Vista Church of Christ, have a responsibility to bind together and to be strong. And what makes a church strong? Who makes a church strong? I told Alan I was going to talk about him. He's not here tonight. And so you can tell him I said so. I'm sure he'll be listening. Does Alan make this church strong? Did Ken make this church strong? Are those the only people who make this church strong? We're getting ready in just a month here to invite and welcome Brother Ryan Goodwin into our number. Is Ryan Goodwin going to be the sole responsibility for making the Monte Vista Church of Christ strong? And I want to say no. But I know a lot of people today act like the preacher is sort of the premier member of the church. And I want to make sure that we all understand that that's not the case. And I also want to make sure that you all understand that I don't believe you believe that. You know how I know that? Because in the last 8 months, we had two choices. We could have either fallen by the wayside because we've lost a preacher who's been our preacher for so long, or we could bind together. And it's hard to preach a lesson like this, by the way, when the deficit of attendance numbers looks like the way that it does on the board. 191 last week and 155 tonight, or today. But I do want to say that while we have a lot of people traveling, while there are a lot of people out of town, I'm going to make the case, and you can argue with me if you want to, but I don't care. I'm going to make the case that this is a strong church. And I'm going to make the case that we are bound together. But the fact that we're a strong church, the fact that we're bound together, does not absolve us from the responsibility of building the church still, of continuing to add to the church, continuing to build a strong and vibrant community that is focused on the Lord, is focused on leading others to the Lord. When Paul in 2 Corinthians was talking about the churches in Macedonia, Paul says that they first gave themselves to the Lord and then to us by the will of God. So what it was, they were providing for the financial needs of the needy saints in Judea. Ladies, I'm sure you probably just talked about this for a little bit tonight. I didn't, literally, I had this whole lesson written about giving and about, you know, giving of our time and all these things. And then I look and the ladies class topic tonight was about giving. I was like, well, all right. So you guys should be prepared for this one. But the Macedonian churches not only gave their financial means, but they gave themselves first. And that's what we should be doing. We should be giving ourselves first. And I believe that a good group of members is going to be one that's giving themselves first. And that's what I see here at the church at Monte Vista. But one thing that I want us to be very clear about is that while we have built, and while I believe we have a very strong church here today in 2013, Paul in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verses 9 through 10 said the same thing about this Macedonian churches, told them how much they loved each other and how he acknowledges how great their love is. Do you remember what he said? 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verses 9 through 10. But concerning brotherly love, you have no need that I should write to you. Wouldn't that be awesome to have Paul say that about us? You guys, I don't even need to write to you guys about showing brotherly love. You guys are doing a great job. And that's what Paul's saying about these churches here. I have no need to write to you, for you yourselves are taught by God to love one another. And indeed you do so toward all the brethren who are in Macedonia. But we urge you, brethren, that you increase more and more. So while we could build a strong church, while we could put the men and women in the places to build up the church and edify the church, when we get to that role, when we get to that point where the church is strong, do we just stop and say, well, the church is strong, don't need to do anything else? We have to keep on. We have to keep on growing. We have to keep on building. And Paul's telling us here that we need to increase more and more in our love for one another. And that's something that every one of us can do. Tonight I want to talk about some ways that we all can build. You can build. I can build. Some ways that we can give of our time, of our energy, of our attention, so that we can ensure that Monte Vista is growing and strong. And this is not a lesson that is geared toward the preachers. This is not a lesson that's geared toward the elders. This is not a lesson that's geared toward the Bible class teachers or the deacons or anyone else. This is a lesson that's geared toward every single person here. Because every one of us, as we're going to talk about tonight, have a responsibility and an opportunity to help build this church. And so the first thing that we can all do is we can all have friendship. We can all show friendship with one another. Mark chapter 3 and verse 25, and I realize that if you go to Mark chapter 3 verse 25, you'll quickly, if you're a good Bible student, you'll quickly realize that I am completely blowing this passage out of context. I'm just plucking it right out and throwing it on the board, and I'm acknowledging that. So I encourage you, go read Mark chapter 3, verses 25 in the surrounding context. Jesus here is teaching a totally different lesson than this, but I think this point still applies. When Jesus says, and if a house is divided against itself, that house cannot stand. If Monte Vista is divided, we're not going to stand. And so what does that imply? We need to be united, not divided. We need to be friendly with one another. We need to be close to one another. And so what we're going to do tonight is we're going to look at these three points, three things we can do, friendship being the first one. And what I want to do is look at two word pictures or pictures that we see in God's Word to help us really hit home what is being talked about here in God's Word about building a strong church. So we need to be friendly with one another, not divided, not against each other, not fighting with each other, but united and together. And when you go and you look at Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verses 9 through 12, you'll see the wise writers' sage instruction about how we bind together. If you turn in your Bibles with me to Ecclesiastes, the fourth chapter. I think this is probably one of the more familiar passages from Ecclesiastes, but this is something that every one of us can think of and every one of us can really relate to, I think, in our own lives. The wise writer says, two are better than one. Isn't that the truth? Two are better than one. Who here likes to be alone? I'm an only child, so I can honestly say there are some times I really like to be alone. But two, in a lot of cases, are better than one because they have good reward for their labor. For if they fall, one will lift up his companion. But woe to him who is alone when he falls, for he has no one to help him up. Again, if two lie down together, they'll keep warm. But how can one be warm alone? Though one may be overpowered by another, two can withstand him, and a threefold cord is not quickly broken. Picture that. A threefold cord is not quickly broken. We need to seek deeper relationships with our brothers and sisters here. We do a good job at that. I'll admit, we do a good job at being friendly with one another and getting to know one another. Excel still more. Do more. Be friendlier with one another. Seek to develop closer relationships with each other. Because it's easy for us, it would be easy for us to seek to develop closer relationships with the world. And that's what a lot of people want to do. That's what a lot of people try to do, is get closer to the world, be friendlier with the world. But we need to be closer with one another. Really, if you think about it, how much time are you spending with your brothers and sisters each week just outside of the worship service? How much time do you see one another outside? You know, we live in a very different world than the first century church did, don't we? We live in a very different kind of society, I guess, than they did. Where maybe they were closer to one another locally, where they didn't have such spread out and sprawling cities and metropolises that they had to cross. Maybe the church there was closer together. I've heard, you know, brothers and sisters here say, you know, we're just so spread out. But I would argue that we're more connected than we probably have ever been due to technology, due to the things that we just all take for granted now from time to time. I mean, the fact that I can send Ryan Joy a text message in the middle of the night without having to walk to his house on a donkey, that tells me that we have plenty of opportunities now to interface with each other. That's a posh word these days, to interact with each other. Things that we never could do thousands of years ago. The first century church would just be shocked to see how connected we all can be. But yes, we all might live farther away from each other. We might not all be very centrally located, but still, find a buddy. Find a friend. Find a group. Not everybody in this room has to collect all together in one place every time we all meet. But you know what? If you are finding yourself outside and not spending enough time with brothers and sisters, what are you doing about it? This is a lesson about you. This is a lesson about what you can do. And it might be really easy for us to say, well, nobody's invited me over, and nobody's called me, and nobody's really gotten to know me very well. Well, what are you doing to get to know others? What are you doing to put yourself out there? I think we can be doing more. I think we need to put our priorities in the right place and understand that, you know what, this life is just temporary. And the more time we can be with each other, Ecclesiastes chapter 4, two are better than one. And so let's be knit together. Let's be a threefold cord. And that's actually the next point here. Over in Ephesians chapter 4, not Ecclesiastes 4, Ephesians chapter 4, Paul talks about being knit together. And this is a super familiar passage, so for the most part, I think we could all probably quote this, but in Ephesians chapter 4, he's talking about how God gave apostles and prophets and evangelists and pastors and teachers for the equipping of the saints and the work of the ministry for the edifying of the body of Christ. So all of these positions, all of these roles were put in place so that the church could be strong, so the church could be built up. But then he goes on and talks about every individual member there who needs to grow up to the full stature of Christ. And then really the point in verse 15 and 16 of Ephesians chapter 4, Paul says, "But speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love." I think we probably use this verse so much that it just starts to like roll off the tongue, and maybe you gloss over when you hear this verse. But think about it. Think about what it means to be knit together. Think about what it means to be tied together, to be joined together, as he talks about here. And so I think we all need to understand when we read this verse, when we think about being knit together and the friendship that we have, we need to find ways to supply more and complain less. And that seems like maybe a harsh way of saying that. But do you need to be a joint that is adding to the body, or do you need to be a joint that's taking away from the body? And unless you're adding to the body, unless you're supplying to the body, you're taking away from the body. And so, you know, I think complaining is probably one of the biggest challenges that we have to get over sometimes. It's really easy to complain. Actually, if you go back and you look at the story of Zacchaeus, whenever Jesus was invited over, or invited himself over to Zacchaeus' house, what was the first thing that the people watching started doing? They started complaining. "Oh, what's Jesus doing going over here to this guy's house who's a sinner and a tax collector? What is he doing?" People like to complain. And I like to complain from time to time, and I need to stop that. Because unless I'm building, unless I'm adding, unless I'm supplying, then I'm taking away. Have you ever noticed that if you're invested in a project, it's really hard to be super critical about that project? I remember a time not too long ago where I was standing on a ladder patching holes in the ceiling of our kitchen because we had replaced some lights and, you know, trying to make the house look wonderful and beautiful for my wonderful and lovely wife, who walks in the door after I'd spent so much time working on that and just said, "I don't like it." And if you know anything about Sherilyn, that takes a lot, because Sherilyn is just a really easygoing person. But for her to walk in and say, "No, I'm not happy about it at all," it was just like, "Oh." But you weren't sitting on this ladder for hours and hours trying to patch this thing. And that's what happens when we're just not invested in something, when we're not giving ourselves in the time and the energy it takes. It's easy for us to be critical, isn't it? "Oh, well, you guys should just, all you got to do is just, you know, change the way that you do this and change the way you do that. And I'm not really a big fan of how you guys are doing this other thing over here." Well, get involved, and then maybe you can find out how to give some good advice. That's a really harsh thing maybe to say, but I think we need to be a supplying member of the church here at Monte Vista. And however that needs to be knit together with one another. Be knit together in this work. And so we need to be friendly with one another, but also we need to be ones who are given to encouragement. We need to be encouraging one another. Hebrews chapter 3, verse 13, the Hebrew writer says, "Exhort one another daily while it's still called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin." We're called to exhort one another. We're called to be an encouragement for one another. Why? So that none of us fall away. So that none of us become hardened. Because that's a real possibility. It can really happen that we just become hardened by sin. Sin starts to creep in, and it just takes over our life, and we become callous to it. We become numb to it, and we can't blush anymore, like Vernon prayed about. But we need to exhort one another. And one of the greatest pictures that I can think of is in Proverbs chapter 27, verse 17, where the proverb writer there says that we need to sharpen one another as iron sharpens iron. Proverbs 27, verse 17. He says, "As iron sharpens iron, so a man sharpens the countenance of his friend." You know a friend like that? You have a friend like that? I hope you do. I hope you have a friend who sharpens you, who who can offer you a kind word, or who can really hit at the heart of what you need to hear at that moment. Someone who will take the time to listen to you. Someone who will ask questions about you. Someone who is interested in your life. And what each and every one of us can do is not just sit around saying, man, I wish I had somebody like that. We can be that way for someone else. We can be iron for someone else's iron. We can sharpen someone the way we want to be sharpened by others. We don't want to be dull. I don't want to be dull. I hope you don't want to be dull. I want to be sharp. I want to be active, and I want that relationship with somebody who can really give me the encouragement that I need, and I want to give that to others. So let's think of ways. Think of ways in your own life. Think of ways in the circle of friends that you're with. How can you be an encouragement to someone else? But not only are we looking at iron sharpening iron in terms of encouragement, but sometimes, if you're in Proverbs chapter 27 and look in verse 5, sometimes it's time to get harsh. Sometimes it's time to wound. I think we live in a really sensitive society today, and I think why is it that we're so afraid of stepping on people's toes? It seems like that's the case more and more. But the proverb writer says in verse 5, open rebuke is better than love carefully concealed. Faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. We need to talk to one another. We need to really talk to each other and really communicate with each other and really be willing to say, not just, hey, so who'd you pick for your fantasy team? Or, hey, did you just see the weather? It's crazy. It's raining and stuff. That's pretty awesome. We need to get down and actually talk about real substantive things sometimes that involve you need to be corrected. Hey, I'm not sure you really knew what you were saying there, knew how it came across, but I think you should really consider your attitude. We need to not be so afraid of saying what needs to be said. We need to, as he says, open rebuke is better. But what happens when we conceal something that needs to be said? What happens when we just hide it away and just acknowledge, give lip service to how good somebody's doing if we really think that there's a correction that needs to be made? I don't like to hear correction myself. It's not comfortable. It's not easy. But you know what? I appreciate the people who do and who are courageous enough to come to me and correct me. And so we need to be encouraging for one another, but in an empathetic and a loving way. It's not just enough to slap somebody on the side of the face and say, hey, buddy, change. And we need to be considerate and careful how we do that. But let's open up with one another. Let's be honest with one another. And let's be real. Because who here is perfect? Well, I didn't mean to raise my hand. I'm certainly not. You've got to be careful with that. Nobody's perfect. And so we can all be encouraging for one another. Finally, we need to be understanding. I think this is one of the biggest opportunities we all have. James chapter 5 and verse 16, James says, confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. Again, none of us are perfect. We need to be honest with each other and open up with each other and be willing to say, hey, I've got something I'm struggling with. And you know what? There's this... I think it's commonly known that when a preacher likes to harp on something, he's probably guilty of it himself, and I'll do exactly what it says there on the board right now. I don't do this enough. I don't confess my trespasses to people enough. It's easy to hold it in. It's easy to hide it from people. It's a lot harder to be honest about it. But you know what? When we're honest about it, when we're forthright about it, that's when we can really lean on the strength of one another. And we can lean on the strength of prayer. We can lean on the strength of God. And that's such a great thing when we're courageous enough to open up. But we need to bear one another's burdens. I love this picture. This is probably one of my favorite pictures of the lesson. If you get nothing else, remember the donkey and the straw. Look at all that straw. You ever feel like you're put upon sometimes? You ever feel like you're just being taken advantage of? Yeah, God tells us to be taken advantage of. God tells us to bear one another's burdens. Romans chapter 15 and verse 1, Paul says, we then who are strong ought to bear with the scruples of the weak and not to please ourselves. We need to bear with each other's weaknesses. Because it's really easy for us just to assume that everyone should be as awesome as we are. But when we're really honest with ourselves and recognize that we're not perfect, and when we see somebody else who's weak in an area, we can be empathetic toward them. We can sympathize with what they're going through. It's super easy for us to diminish someone's struggles, diminish someone's pain, diminish someone's issues that they're going through. But it's very challenging for us to acknowledge them and to bear them. Not just to say, look, I realize that what you're going through is a difficult situation, but let me bear that for you. Let me take care of that for you. I think sometimes we want to jump on this immediate conclusion that everyone's out to get us, that everyone has evil motives, and that everyone's trying to just take advantage of us or pull the wool over our eyes. A real example of this for me is I don't know if anyone knows this, I hate chair tapping or like somebody who just doesn't know it and they're sitting there tapping. It just drives me crazy. Because I can't focus, I can't pay attention. It's why I sit right up there just so I don't have to watch people, you know, moving and stuff. Because my immediate reaction is to think, well, they're doing that just to make me mad. All they're doing is they're just doing that to anger me. But you know what? That person probably has no idea they're doing that. Or that person probably cares nothing about me. You know, you get really, I don't know about you, but I get really bothered when I hear a noise, a repetitive noise over and over again, and I think it's Sherilyn, or I think it's Ashlyn, or I think it's someone else, and then I go realize, you know what, it's actually the door just knocking against the wall because of the wind. And I say, well, the door is not angry with me. The door doesn't have anything against me. The door's not out to get me. But I think a lot of times we assume negative intent. We assume someone's out to get us. And what we need to assume is that people have positive intentions. People are trying to do the right thing until it's proven otherwise. Love believes all things. Love bears all things. When we really love each other, we're going to give each other the benefit of the doubt and say, you know what, he probably doesn't even know what he's doing. And I'm going to treat him with understanding. We also need to serve one another. Serve one another, like getting down on our knees and washing each other's feet. Not literally, necessarily. But in Galatians chapter 5, Paul talks about service to one another. He says in verse 13, "For you, brethren, have been called to liberty. Only do not use liberty as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love, serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself." And then he goes on in chapter 6 and verse 2 to say, "Bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ." We need to serve one another. And I honestly feel like I don't even need to say anything about this point, Claire, because I think we do a great job at serving one another. I think we do a great job at being of service for one another. And you know how I know that? Because I'm sitting over at Ryan and Adrian's house, since we live literally like right down the road from them, and after Asher was born, and people just streaming through the doors, dropping off food. And I'm not going to speak for Ryan and Adrian, but I think that's awesome. They didn't even know they're coming over, and here's just a casserole. And we were getting ready to maybe eat or do something that night. And I'll be honest, I have eaten some of your casserole because I was sitting right there and they offered it to me. But we are of service to one another, and that's great. If I have something to do in my backyard, I know Ryan Billington will be there in a moment. If I have to move anything, I know Critter is right there ready to help. If I need a tool, seriously, Lance is like Harbor Freight for me. I was standing out in front of my house, day one of us purchasing the house, had to rip off a lockbox off the side of the house, and I just called Lance up. "Lance, do you have a bolt cutter? I need a bolt cutter." Lance brought over 4 bolt cutters. I only need one, but he brought 4. We know how to be of service to one another, and my encouragement to you is to be understanding for one another and to continue being of service for one another. And so that's really it. As a church, if we want to help build this church, if we want to help grow this church, we need to understand how to be friendly for one another. to be a cord that's made up of multiple strands that's hard to break. To be there for one another when it's cold. To be there for one another when someone comes against us. We need to be knit together in love. We need to understand how to encourage one another. And how to sharpen one another. And how to sometimes wound one another. And we need to be understanding. We need to bear one another's burdens. And we need to serve each other. And if we can do these things, we will have a church that brings glory and honor to God. That's what I want. I want to build something here that brings glory and honor to God. I want to build something here. I want to be a part of something here that leads the lost to Christ. I want to be a part of something here that the world can look at and say, you know what, I want to be a part of that. Because while it might be really easy for us to look around at a lot of these mega churches who are out there with their Starbucks and their drive-thrus and all these other things that are going on trying to entice people in, we are never going to entice people in by not being passionate about what we do. We need to be passionate about the Lord. We need to be passionate about loving one another and serving one another. And when people come, they'll see that. And they'll want to be a part of that. And we've had a few members recently who have placed membership with us who we are absolutely so thankful for. And we want you to know, if you've recently joined our group, that we are committed to growing. And we want you to help us. Take out your songbooks and turn to the number that's been announced. If you're here tonight and you are searching for the Lord, if you understand that Jesus Christ came to this earth, gave himself on the cross so that you could live, and that understanding is leading you to recognize that you need to repent of your sins, to confess his name before men, that we will baptize you in water tonight for the remission of your sins, to make you clean and white and new, to be added to his kingdom, to be added to his church. And if you're ready to do that tonight, we'll baptize you, we'll be there for you, we'll hold your hand the whole way. And once you come out of those waters of baptism, we're committed to helping you grow as you are committed to helping us grow. If you're a Christian who's turned from the Lord and has been walking in darkness and you need to come back, you need the prayers of this group for help in some way, whatever your needs are, please come as we stand and sing.